that what's the first thing when you go to work and when you go to play or whatever you go and they find out you're a Christian, they say, oh, I know people like you that are a bunch of phony baloney hypocrites. Why? Because they've seen something that didn't taste sweet, it tasted bitter. We need to be careful. The way we talk, the way we act, the things that we do.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're so glad to have you with us today as we continue our study of the guiding wisdom we find in 1 Peter. Urging you to consider your witness to a watching world, Roel will challenge you to make sure your actions speak as loud as your words when it comes to representing Christ through your faith. Stay with us to see that by submitting to authority and adhering to the law, your obedience can be a practical, influential testimony to others. Today's lesson is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Here's Roel Reese.
And one of the things that Peter is talking to, he's talking, remember, to the nation, and he's dealing with the government of Rome, which Rome was the governing power of the world at that time. And Rome had made a law that everybody had to pay taxes. Everybody. And you had to register to do that. And it's interesting that as you begin to read his letter, that he was not the best Greek writer of all writers. I mean, he was a fisherman. But I mean, when you look at the letter itself and the way he writes it and the order of the letter, it is amazing how Peter writes this epistle to us tonight. And one of the things that we need to understand, even as Peter is writing, let's go back for a second to verse 11 and 12, where he says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from all fleshly lust of the desires of the flesh, which war against the soul or the mind, having your manner of life or conduct honorable among who? All of the heathens, all of the Gentiles. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, give glory and honor to God on the day of visitation." Isn't that interesting? He's not talking to the non-believer, he's talking to the church. Where you work, where you play, where you live, where you shop. Wherever you go, you are salt and you are light and people are watching your life. And you can either turn people to Christ or you can turn people away from Christ, depending on your conduct, the way you live. That's why it's really important to understand what the Bible teaches. Why? Because we want to be living by the Word of God. We are pilgrims and strangers, and yet at the same time, I am a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. He's going to be talking to us now tonight about how not only we are citizens of this world, but also we are become citizens of the kingdom of God fully and completely, and people have their eyes on each one of us individually. Every one of us here. And yet, look how he begins in chapter 2, verse 13. As Peter here is very bold in what he says. He says, therefore, because of what we talked about last week, he says, if people are watching you, then this is what you're supposed to do. Here's the command. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be kings as supreme or as governors, as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Isn't that interesting? Then now he's going to talk to us as citizens of this country. In citizens of this world, what are the rules and regulations that have been given to us by our government that we have to obey? You know what's interesting about this verse, chapter 2, verse 13? He said he starts out the word therefore here, and he's going to be talking to us about the way we conduct ourselves, not only as citizens of this world, but he says, therefore submit, notice, yourselves. Notice, not to partial, to every ordinance, or listen literally, human institution that has been set up by who? By the government? No, by God. God rules over every government. Did you know that? God does. The governments become perverted, but not God. God from the foundations of the world, when you go back to the book of Genesis, even with Adam and Eve, he set up government, the institution of government, and the way government was supposed to be run. And so it's really important when he says, therefore submit, the word submit here, he's going to be using it a lot. You're going to be seeing a lot of the word submit here. As a matter of fact, when he's speaking of submission here, he's using the word in the New Testament 38 times. It's hupotasso. It's a military term. It means to be under the command of whoever is above you. And we are hupotasso underneath who? Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is my master. He is my Lord and Savior. I am under him. And because he set up government and the institution of government, everything that he set up as paying taxes and being honest, and you know, and he's going to tell you a little bit here now, if you break the law, then the law what? Punishes you. But if you're good, then you're okay, because then you're not going to get punished. You get rewarded. And yet think of all the people today that are not in submission. You notice, again, the word that he uses here, hupotasso, it's used here in a military term. To what? Submitted to the ordinances of men, to every human institution, literally, it says here. Being obedient to government as long as we do not come against God's word or his law. We obey. If, for example, if the day they would tell us, government would say, you cannot have church any longer, you cannot read your Bible any longer, you cannot put up stickers in your car any longer, then that's what happens. Then we would make a change. When they can't tell you that you can't preach the word of God, then something is wrong. Then you have to stand for what you believe is right. And it may cost you your life, just like in the early church. That's why God has set up the institution of marriage. And what does the Bible say? God hates divorce. And yet, look at how many people have divorced today. In the church, not outside of the church. If you're coming into the church divorced, then that doesn't count to you because you're a new creature now. But if you're a Christian, and just because your wife doesn't appeal to you anymore, and you find somebody else that appeals to you, and you file for a divorce, and you divorce your wife, and then you get remarried to that person, you will be an adulterer the rest of your life. Read your Bibles. It's pretty heavy what he says. So we need to understand the word of God. Either we're going to live by it, or we're going to break every piece of the law that God has given to us. So here Peter is wanting to speak to the Christians, but at the same time he's speaking to us in the 21st century today. And the first thing that he tells us is that we need to be obedient to government. Not just paying our taxes, but in the laws that are put before us. Being obedient in submission to that. Why? Watch what he says. For the Lord's sake, which means what? Because of the Lord, whether it be to king or supreme. Notice what he's saying here. The motive of our submission is to what? Because of God. God said it. God placed it in the word of God. And God means for us to keep it fully and completely. Watch this. Verse 14. The role of government. He says, or to the governors, which governors, these are the officials that work for government. These are the officials that are working for the government. And it's interesting because these are different institutions. The president is the one that is over the whole country. And then you have different institutions that are given to us. He says, or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So here he's talking about standing up for righteousness and never compromising our position in Christ. And so Peter wants us to understand here that, hey, government has to be what? It has to be obeyed. Number one, in Matthew 22, 18 through 21, we're going to be dealing with this. He's talking about paying Caesar what belongs to Caesar, paying your taxes. Number two, in Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, I want you to turn there for a second. I want to show you something. Listen to what Paul says, speaking about government. He says this, let every soul be subject or be in obedience or in submission to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. So who sets up government? God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by who? By God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority of God resists the ordinance of what? Of God. And those who resist will be brought to judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good. Do what is right. And you will have praise from the same. You see, if you don't break the law, you have nothing to be worried about. But if you break the law, what happens? You become a criminal. You see, you can't live right. You're on the run. Look what he says. Verse 4. For he is God's minister to you for good. Underline that. He's speaking about the sheriff's department. He's speaking about the LA police department. He's talking about our military. He's talking about every one of those departments that are there to protect you. That's what he's talking about.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit us at SomebodyLovesYou.com for Bible-based resources that will strengthen your faith and instruct you in the ways of the Lord. If you have questions about the Bible that you'd like Raul to address, you can email him at PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to more with Raul Reese.
He says, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. See? He doesn't bear the sword what? Because he will take action. You pull a gun on him, he'll shoot you. You see? God has set the way of self-defense too. And you notice that he said that we are to submit to their authorities? That word submits all over the Bible. To submit. What else he says? He says, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's what? Minister. Notice that he works for God. An avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So they're there to for your protection, to do what's right, not to, because you're their friend, to do favors for them, but to be equal with every person. Why? Because God is watching. Notice that. Not to be a respecter of persons. Therefore, because of this, you must be, again, here it is, subject, notice, in submission, not only because of the wrath, but also because of conscience sake. Isn't that interesting? In your conscience, you know when you do right and you know when you do wrong. But it's really important what Peter is saying here for us to understand the situation in government and what we're supposed to be doing as the citizens of this kingdom. Remember what Peter said? When you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 5, 29, he says when they were in prison, remember? And they said, listen, you better listen to us. And he said this, we ought to obey God rather than man. Boy, I love that. I rather obey God than man. If man is wrong, I will not obey him. And so Peter is kind of exhorting us here as Christians. Look at verse 15. This is a key verse. He says, for this is the will of God, that by doing what's right, you may put to silence the ignorance of what? Of senseless men or foolish men. Isn't that interesting? We are salt and we are light. And by our testimony, we can put the world to silence. They can't say nothing against us. But what's the first thing when you go to work and when you go to play or whatever you go and they find out you're a Christian, they say, oh, I know people like you that are a bunch of phony baloney hypocrites. Why? Because they've seen something that didn't taste sweet, it tasted bitter. We need to be careful. The way we talk, the way we act, the things that we do. That's why he says here, for this is the will of God. Notice that. What is that? To submit to the what? To be in righteous in government, to be in righteous in our city, to be in righteous in the church, to be righteous wherever we work or wherever we play. We have to be right. He says, doing good that you may put to silence. And the word silence here is a very interesting word. It means to muscle or to gasp somebody. To put a muscle in the mouth. He says, the ignorance, notice, the ignorance or hostility or recklessness of the unbelieving. He says, of the foolishness of men or the senseless, or literally what it means, a lack of mental capacity. It's the word used for mental capacity where a person is not all there. That's the word that he uses here. Foolish men, men that are not all there. They're brutish. They're stupid. They don't understand. That's what he says about people in the world today. That's what the Word of God teaches. And yet for us, we need to understand that we are not only different people, but that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We live by the Holy Spirit. We are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we obey by the control of the Holy Spirit when I come to what? When I come to do anything in this life. Why? Because I have been born again of the Holy Spirit. God has touched my life. God has touched your life. Your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. Your employer, employees, whoever it may be is watching. Your best friend or your enemies watching you. And we need to be aware of that. Now, what kind of attitude should we have as citizens of the kingdom of this world? Well, look what he says in verse 16. He says, as free, yet not using our liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Isn't that interesting? Notice that he speaks here about our freedoms. If we are truly free in Jesus Christ, and God has truly set us as free men, and we obey the laws of the land, and we have set Christ in the center of our lives, then what do? We stay away from the world. We stay away from Satan, and we stay away from sin. Why? Because we are bond servants of God. You notice that word cloak for the vice here? The word cloak there is not to make an excuse. It's literally a word to excuse yourself. When you're in the grace of God, he says, make sure that you understand, literally, act as free men, yet not using your liberty as an excuse to do what? To sin or to do evil. But as bond servants of God, understand who you are in Jesus Christ. You are a bond servant of the Lord. But if we're truly citizens of the kingdom of God, then we need to be careful how we talk and how we walk and the way we think and the way we speak. Because the world is watching us and listening to us. And they're great judges, man, when it comes to the world. And then notice verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Notice those four words that he's using here. He says, so if you are citizens, sojourners, and pilgrims in this world, and God has saved you and God has touched you, then you're going to be obedient to the government and to the rules of the government. Then at the same time, you need to be what? You need to honor all people. It doesn't matter who they are ethnically. It doesn't matter. You honor all people. Why? Because you're a child of God and God honors you and you honor God. We have to be honorable people. Notice what he's saying here. This is the same word to honor our father and our mother in Matthew 15:4. The word honor here, both times used. Love is the word agape. Notice that. The what? The brotherhood. This word is used by Peter always is used for the word for the church. for the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which means it's people that believe in Jesus Christ that are in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love all of the brotherhood, which means we love the Presbyterians, we love the Lutherans, we love the Baptists, we love the Assemblies of God, we love everybody that's a Christian. Doesn't matter who they are. We love them with agape love. We don't hate them. And then check this out. Right in the middle, he says what? Fear God. And the word to fear here is the word worship used here, or of awe, the awe of God. God is awesome. He's amazing. And we need to what? To fear God in worship. To know that he's on the throne. He's the one that is behind everything for us. And then he comes back again and he says, honor the king. That means we honor who? Our president. We honor, if you're in England, king or queen. And wherever you are, whoever is in charge, we have to honor them. And what do we do for them? We pray for them. We don't have to agree with them, but we can pray for them. It's really amazing how God's word is so precious. And the way God teaches us to come to him so that we can be what? So that we can honor him and people can be what? Honoring you in such a way that they respect you for who you are. And if people don't respect you, something is wrong. And you have to go to the Lord and you have to ask God, God, why am I making people stumble? What am I doing that it's wrong? I know that sometimes when you're a new believer, you're growing in the Lord, you just became a Christian, you're going to trip, you're going to fall, you're going to be in chaos. But don't worry about it. You'll get through that. Don't get discouraged. Because you know what he says in the word of God. When you sin, he says, if we repent and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us for our sins. And the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, cleanses it and washes it and moves it away forever and ever. Because he's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. He's a God that is always willing to forgive us and to cleanse us and wash us no matter what we've done.
We've probably all heard accusations that Christians are hypocritical. And as you consider this sensitivity from those observing your life, we hope you'll honor God in even the most mundane of activities, like paying your taxes. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's teaching in its complete form, just call us at 800-634-9165. And for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy of our study from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. We'd also like to equip you with Raul's entire study of 1 Peter. Available on both CD and thumb drive, this 42-lesson series provides in-depth insight into what it looks like to glorify God with your obedient surrender. You'll also see how the Lord will lead you into rich, eternal blessings when you follow him in humble devotion. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase Raul's 42-part study of 1 Peter. We'll send you the CD set for $63 or the flash drive for just $42. Our number again is 800-634-9165. If you'd like to order by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Take a moment and download our Somebody Loves You app, and you'll discover a wide range of Bible study helps, as well as convenient access to live-streamed teaching. For podcasts of all of these messages, you can browse iTunes or Spotify. And visit our Somebody Loves You worldwide YouTube channel. There you'll find Straight Talk with Raul Reese streaming every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Thank you for your tax-deductible gifts. Your partnership is central to this ministry. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll explore the specific ways we can represent the Lord and live out our faith in the workplace. Now, with a closing comment, here's Raul once again.
And you know what's amazing to me? That even though in the church here we teach the Word of God on Sunday mornings, I've seen gay girls together holding hands in the church, homosexuals coming here. And probably there's alcoholic people here, drug addicts here, people that are on meth, cocaine. And you know what? We welcome anybody and everybody. They want to change their lives. That's cool. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that. But then at the same time, think of those that have been in the Lord 2 years, 3 years, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And so the day you came to Christ, you've never, ever grown. Then you become, like Paul says, what? You become an infant in the kingdom of God, and you're carnal and not spiritual. We need to grow. We need to develop. And how do we do that? By feeding upon God's word and obeying God's word and saying no to sin. When we come humbly as bonded servants of Jesus Christ, and like he says here, we honor all people, we love the brotherhood, we fear God, and we honor the King, guess what's going to happen? God is going to be at your side, and he's going to be there to assist you and to help you. Why? Because he loves you too much.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.